Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dave, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour in Liberty, Texas. Today is September 29, 2017, or it is Tishri 10. 2021. We will start our second service on this Atonement Day with a song entitled "Kiss So Sweet to Trust in Yahshua." Kiss so sweet to trust in Yahshua, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise. Just to know the Sefer Yah, Yahshua, Yahshua, Thou art trusted, Thou hast proved Him o'er and o'er. Yahshua, Yahshua, precious Yahshua, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Yahshua, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me with the healing cleansing flood. Yahshua, Yahshua, how I trust Him, Thou hast proved Him o'er and o'er. Yahshua, Yahshua, precious Yahshua, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, just sweet to trust in Yahshua, just from sin and self to see. Just from Yahshua simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Yahshua, Yahshua, Thou art trust Him, Thou art proved Him o'er and o'er. Yahshua, Yahshua, precious Yahshua, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Savior, Yahshua, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Yahshua, Yahshua, Thou art trusted, Thou art proved Him o'er and o'er. Yahshua, Yahshua, precious Yahshua, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Yahshua in His sanctuary, we're reading from a compilation from Ellen D. White's on the sanctuary service. And so we're going to start this. It's going to take several hours to do it all. So we'll start with page one here, entitled Yahshua in His Sanctuary. A compilation from the writings of the Ellen G. White, the subject of the sanctuary and the investigative judges should be clearly understood by the people of Yahweh. Great Controversy 488. I know that the sanctuary question stands in the righteousness and truth just as we have held it for so many years. For it is the enemy that leads minds off on the sidetracks, for he is pleased when those who know the truth become engrossed in the collecting of the scriptures for the piling around erroneous theories which have no foundation in the truth. For the scriptures thus used are mystified, for they were not given for the substantiating of the error, but for the strengthening of the truth. Gospel Workers 303. an introduction for the sanctuary truth, writing of what must be accomplished by the emerging Seventh-day Adventist congregation before the Yahweh shall come. Ellen G. White, 1883, said, "The minds of the believers were to be directed unto the heavenly sanctuary, where the Yahshua had entered for the making of the atonement for his people." Selected Messages 167. In the crisis of 1906, in which certain of the basic teachings of the Seventh-day Adventists were threatened, she wrote, "For the correct understanding of the ministration in the heavenly sanctuary is the foundation of our faith." Evangelism 2:21. For the end of the 2300 days, among the prophecies forming the foundation of the Advent awakening of the 1830s and the early 1840s was the prophecy of the Daniel 8:14, "And the 2300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Ellen White, who passed through the experience, explains concerning the application of this prophecy. In the common with the rest of the Protestant world, Adventists then held that the earth or some portion of it was a sanctuary. They understood that the cleansing of the sanctuary was a purification of the earth by the fires of the last day, a great day, and that this would take place at the second advent. Hence the conclusion that the Yahushua would return unto the earth in 1844. Great Controversy 409. For this prophetic period came to its close on October 23, 1844. For the disappointment of those who expected to meet their Savior, Yahshua on that day was great. Tom Edson, a careful Bible student in the mid-New York State, described what took place among the company of believers of which he was a part. Our expectations were raised high, and thus we looked for our coming Yahweh until the clock tolled 12 at midnight. The day had then passed, and our disappointment had become a certainty. Our fondest hopes and expectations were blasted, and such a spirit of the weeping came over us as I never experienced before. It seemed that the loss of all earthly friends should have been no comparison. We wept and wept till the day dawned. I'm used in my heart saying, my Advent experience has been the brightest of all my Protestant experiences. Has the scriptures proved a failure? Is there no Yahweh, no heaven, no golden city, and no paradise? No paradise. Is all this but a cunningly devised fable? Is there no reality unto our fondest hopes and expectations? I began to fear there might be light and help for us in our distress. I said to some of the brethren, "Let us go to the barn." We entered the granary, shut the doors about us, and bowed before the Yahweh. We prayed earnestly, for we felt our necessity. We continued in earnest prayer until the witness of the Spirit was given that our prayers were accepted and that light should be given, our disappointment explained, made clear and satisfactory. We started, and while passing through a large field, I was stopped about midway of the field. Heaven seemed open to my view, and I saw distinctly and clearly that instead of our high priest coming out of the most holy place, of the heavenly sanctuary to this earth on the 10th day of the 7th month, at the end of the 2300 days, he for the first time entered on that day into the second apartment of that sanctuary, and that he had a work to perform in the most holy place before coming to the earth. That he came to the marriage, or in other words, to the Ancient of Days, for the receiving of a kingdom, dominion, and glory, and that we must wait for his return from the wedding. And my mind was directed to the 10th chapter of Revelation, where I could see the vision had spoken and did not lie. Unpublished manuscripts published and part in the review and held June 23, 1921. There followed a careful investigation of the scriptures that touched on this subject, particularly those in the Hebrews, Brother Harm Edson and two close associates, Dr. F.B. Hand, a physician, and O.R.L. Crozier, a teacher. The result of this joint study was given up by Crozier and was published first in the Daily Dawn, a paper of the limited circulation, and then in the rewritten and enlarged form and a special issue of the Day Star on February 7, 1846. This was a more widely read Adventist journal, published at the Cincinnati, Ohio. Through this medium, it reached a number of the disappointed Advent believers. A rather lengthy presentation, well supported by the scriptures, brought hope and courage to their hearts, as it clearly showed that the sanctuary to be cleansed at the end of the 2300 days is in the heaven and not on the earth, as they had believed earlier. Ellen G. White, in a statement written on April 21, 1847, declared in the endorsement of the Crozier article on the sanctuary question, "For the Yahweh showed me in a vision more than 1 year ago that the brother Crozier had the true light on the cleansing of the sanctuary, and that it was his will that the brother Crozier should write out the view which he gave us in the Day Star Extra, February 7, 1846. I feel fully authorized by the Yahweh to recommend that extra to every saint." A Word of Little Flock, page 12. At a later time, she wrote of a rapid development of the doctrinal understanding that followed the disappointment. "For the passing of the time in 1844 was a period of great events, opening to our astonished eyes the cleansing of the sanctuary transpiring in the heaven, and the heaven decided relation unto Yahweh's people upon the earth. Manuscript 13, 1889, published in the Councils to Writers and Editors. For a truth by the witness of the Holy Spirit, for the visions given unto Ellen White, while not running ahead of the Bible study, confirmed as silence of the position that an important phase of the Yahshua's ministry in the heavenly sanctuary was entered upon on the October 22, 1844. Gradually, the breadth and depth of the subject opened before the Advent believer. Looking back on the experience in the later years, she recalled her study and for the manifest evidences of the Yahweh's guiding hand. Many of our people do not realize how firmly the foundation of our faith has been laid. My husband, Elder Joseph Bates, Father Pierce, Elder Hiram Edson, and others who were keen, noble, and true were among those who, after the passing of the time in 1844, searched for the truth as for hidden treasure. I met with them, and we studied and prayed earnestly. Often we remained together until late at night, and sometimes through the entire night, praying for the light and studying the Word again. And again, these brethren came together to study the Bible in order that they might know its meaning and be prepared to teach it with the power. When they came to the point in their study where they were, we can do nothing more. The Spirit of the Yahweh would come upon us, upon me. I would be taken off in the vision and a clear explanation of the passages we had been studying would be given me, with the instruction as to how we were to labor and teach effectively. This light was given that helped us to understand the scriptures in regard to the Yahushua, his mission and his priesthood, a line of the truth extending from that time unto the time when we shall enter the city of the Yahweh, was made plain unto me, and I gave unto others the instruction that the Yahweh had given me. During this whole time, I could not understand the reasoning of the brethren. My mind was locked, as it were, and I could not comprehend the meaning of the scriptures we were studying. This is one of the greatest sorrows of my life. I was in this condition of the mind until all the principal points of our faith were made clear unto our minds in the harmony with the word of the Yahweh. For the brethren knew that when not in the vision, I could not understand these matters, and they accepted as the light direct from the heaven as the revelations given. Selected messages, number one, page 206 and 7. For the realization that the Yahshua had entered the most holy place in this heavenly sanctuary to begin his closing ministry on our behalf, typified in the sanctuary service observed by the Israel of the old, solemnized the hearts of our pioneer Adventists, for the truth is so clear, so grand, and so vital that it is difficult to sense that upon them rested the responsibility of the imparting this light unto others. Ellen White wrote of the certainty of their position. We are to be established in the faith and the light of the truth given us in our early experience. At that time, one error after another pressed in upon us. Ministers and doctors brought in new doctrines. We would search the scriptures with much prayer, and the Holy Spirit would bring the truth to our mind. Sometimes whole nights would be devoted to the searching of the scriptures and earnestly asking Yahweh for the guidance. Companies of the devoted men and women assembled for this purpose. For the power of the Yahweh would come upon me, and I was able clearly to define what is in the truth and what is of the error. As the points of our faith were thus established, our feet were placed upon a solid foundation, where we accepted the truth point by point under the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, and would be taken off in the vision, and the explanations would be given me. I was given illustrations of the heavenly things and of the sanctuary, so that we were placed where the light was shining on us in the clear, distinct rays. I know that the sanctuary question stands in the righteousness and truth just as we have held it for so many years. Gospel Workers 302, 303. where the pioneers of the movement saw the sanctuary truth as a basic to the whole structure of the Seventh-day Adventist doctrine. For the James White 1850 republished the essential portions of the first presentation of the subject by O.R.I. Crozier and commented, "For the subject of the sanctuary should be carefully examined as it lies at the foundation of our faith and hope." Advent Review. For the sanctuary and the Sabbath, for it was the setting of a view of the heavenly sanctuary, that the Sabbath truth was confirmed in the vision given unto the Ellen White on April 3, 1847, at the Howland home in Topeson, Maine. Of this she writes, "We felt an unusual spirit of the prayer, and as we prayed, the Holy Spirit fell upon us. We were very happy. Soon I was lost unto the earthly things and was wrapped in a vision of the Yahweh's glory. I saw an angel flying swiftly under me. He quickly carried me from the earth unto the holy city. In the city I saw a temple, which I entered. I passed through a door before I came to the first veil. This veil was raised, and I passed into the holy place. Here I saw the altar of the incense, the candlestick with the seven lamps, and the table on which was the showbread. After viewing the glory of the holy, the Asherah raised the second veil, and I passed into the holy of holies. In the holiest, I saw an ark. In the holiest, I saw an ark. On the top and sides of it was the purest gold. On each end of the ark was a lovely cherub, with his wings spread out over it. For their faces were turned toward each other, and they looked downward between the angels. Between the angels was a golden censer. Above the ark, where the angel stood, was an exceeding bright glory that appeared like a throne where the Yahweh dwelt. For the Asherah stood by the ark, and as the saints' prayers came up unto him, the incense of the in the censer would smoke, and he would offer up their prayers with the smoke of the incense unto his Father." In the ark was the golden pot of the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the stone that folded together like a book. For the Yahushua opened them, and I saw the Ten Commandments written on them with the finger of the Yahweh. On one table were four, and on the other six. The four on the first table shone brighter than the other six, but the fourth, the Sabbath commandment, shown above them all, for the Sabbath was set apart as to be kept in the honor of the Yahweh's holy name. For the holy Sabbath looked glorious, a halo of the glory was all around it. I saw that the Sabbath commandment was not nailed to the cross. If it was, the other nine commandments were, and we are at the liberty for the breaking them all, as well as for the breaking of the fourth. I saw that the Yahweh had not changed the Sabbath, for he never changes. Early Writings 32-33. For the sanctuary truth under the fire, while there were those who saw clearly the binding claims of the Yahweh's law, and began to observe the seventh-day Sabbath as set forth in the law of the Yahweh, they encountered strong opposition of this and the reasons for it. Ellen White explained, "Many and earnest were the efforts made for the overthrowing of their faith. None could fail to see that if the earthly sanctuary was a figure or pattern of the heavenly, The law deposited in the ark on the earth was an exact transcript of the law and the ark in heaven. And that an acceptance of the truth concerning the heavenly sanctuary involved an acknowledgement of the claims of the Yahweh's law and the obligation of the Sabbath as the fourth commandment. Here was the secret of the bitter and determined opposition unto the harmonious exposition of the scriptures that revealed the administration of the Yahshua and the heavenly sanctuary. Great Controversy 435. It is with a little wonder that those in the subsequent years, by the defecting from the Seventh-day Adventist congregation, should make the sanctuary truth a point of the opposition. For it was so with the elders Schnook and Brinkerhoff, conference officers in Iowa, who withdrew in the middle 1860s, and with D.M. Cantwright, an influential minister who left the Seventh-day Adventist congregation in 1887, to become a bitter enemy and critic. Nor is it strange that the pantheistic views at the turn of the century, espoused and advocated by some and ministerial workers, should strike directly at the fundamental doctrine. For it was in this sitting that the Ellen White and the Warning Words wrote on November the 20th, 1905. Unto those medical missionaries and ministers who had been drinking in the scientific sophistries and bewitching fables against which you have been warned, I would say your souls are in peril. For the world must know where you are standing and where Seventh-day Adventists are standing. For the Yahweh calls for all who have accepted these soul-destroying delusions no longer to halt between the two opinions. If the Yahweh be the Yahweh, follow him. Okay, Satan, with all his hosts, is on the battlefield. For the Yahushua's soldiers are now to rally around the blood-stained banner of the Emmanuel in the name of the Yahshua. Leave the black banner of the Prince of Darkness and take your position with the Prince of the Heaven. Let's read that again. In the name of the Yahweh, leave the black banner of the Prince of the Darkness and take your position with the Prince of the Heaven. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Read your Bibles from the higher ground under the instruction given me of the Yahweh. I present these things before you. For the time is near when the deceptive powers of the satanic agencies will be fully developed. On one side is the Yahushua, who has been given all power in the heaven and earth. On the other side is the Satan, with the continually exercising of his power for the alluring, for the deceiving, with the strong spiritualistic sophistries, for the removing of the Yahweh or the Yahshua out of the place that he should occupy in the minds of men, or the Yahweh. For the Satan is striving continually for the bringing in the fanciful suppositions in the regard unto the sanctuary, for the degrading of the wonderful representations of the Yahweh, and for the ministry of the Yahushua for our salvation, unto something that suits the carnal mind. For he removes his presiding power from the hearts of the believers and supplies its place with the fantastic theories invented to make void the truths of the atonement and destroy our confidence in the doctrines that we have held sacred since the third angel's message was first given. lest he would rob us of our faith in the very message that has made us a separate people and has given character and power unto our work. Special Testimony, Series B, Number 7, page 16 and 17. It was in the sitting of this pantheistic crisis that Ellen White, attending the General Conference session in 1905, declared in the words significant unto us today, "In the future, deception of every kind is to rise, and we want solid ground for our feet. We want solid pillars for the building. Not one pin is to be removed from that which the Yahweh has established, for the enemy will bring in the false theories such as the doctrine that there is no sanctuary. This is one of the points on which there will be a departing from the faith. Where shall we find safety unless it be in the truths that the Yahweh has been given for the last 50 years? Counsels to Writers and Editors, 53. For the pantheistic view so earnestly advocated by some, Ellen White declared, "Would do away with the Yahweh, Special Testimony, Series B, Number 7, page 16, and invalidate the sanctuary truth." At about the same time, one of our ministers, whom we will identify as Elder G., espoused the view that when Yahushua went back into heaven after his ministry, on the earth he went into the presence of the Yahweh, and there where Yahweh is, must be the most holy place. Therefore, on October 22, 1844, there was no entering into the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary, as we believe and taught. These two concepts, both of which struck at the doctrine of the sanctuary as we held it, led Ellen White several times to refer to the soundness and integrity of this point of the faith. In 1904 she wrote, "They, the children of the Yahweh, will not, by their words and acts, lead anyone to doubt in regard to the distinct personality of the Yahweh, or in regard unto the sanctuary and its ministry. We all need to keep the subject of the sanctuary in mind, for the Yahweh forbid that the clatter of the words coming from the human lips should lessen the belief of our people and the truth that there is a sanctuary in the heaven, and that a pattern of this sanctuary was once built on this earth. For the Yahweh desires his people to become familiar with this pattern, keeping ever before their minds a heavenly sanctuary. For the Yahweh is all and in all, we must keep our minds graced by the prayer and a study of the Yahweh's word, that we may grasp these truths." E.G. White, Letter 233, 1904. Points sustained only by the misused scriptures. Writing particularly of the Ellen G.'s work and the undermining confidence in the sanctuary, Truth in 1905, Ellen White pointed out the unsoundness of his use of the scripture evidence and the dependability of our understanding of the sanctuary truth. This is what she said: "I have been pleased with Yahweh for the strength and wisdom for the reproducing of the writings of the witnesses who were confirmed in the faith and in the early history of the message. After the passing of the time in 1844, they received the light and walked in the light, and when the men claiming to have new light would come in with their wonderful messages regarding the various points of the scriptures, we had, through the movement of the Holy Spirit, testimonies right to the point. which cut off the influence of such messages as Elder G has been devoting his time to presenting. This poor man has been working decidedly against the truth that the Holy Spirit has confirmed. When the power of the Yahweh testifies as to what is truth, that truth is to stand forever as the truth. No after suppositions contrary to the light Yahweh has given are to be entertained. Men will arise with the interpretations of the scriptures, which are to them truth, but which are not truth, for the truth of this time Yahweh has given us as a foundation for our faith. For he himself has taught us what is the truth. One will arise, and still another with new light, which contradicts the light that the Yahweh has given. Under the demonstration of his Holy Spirit, a few are still alive who pass through the experience gained in the establishment of this truth, for the Yahweh has graciously spared their lives to repeat and repeat till the close of their lives, for the experience through which they pass, even as did John the Apostle, till the very close of his life, and the standard bearers who have fallen into death are to speak through the reprinting of their writings. I am instructed that thus their voices are to be heard. They are to bear their testimony as to what constitutes the truth of this time. We are not to receive the words of those who come with a message that contradicts the special truths of our faith. So they gather together a mass of the scriptures and pile it as a proof around their asserted theory. This has been done over and over again during the past 50 years. And while the scriptures are the Yahweh's word and are to be respected, the application of them, if such application moves one pillar from the foundation that the Yahweh has sustained these 50 years, is a great mistake. He who makes such an application knows not the wonderful demonstrations of the Holy Spirit that gave power and force unto the past messages that have come to the people of the Yahweh. Elder G's proofs are not reliable. If received, they would destroy the faith of the Yahweh's people and the truth that has made us what we are. For we must be decided on this subject, for the points that he is trying to prove by the scriptures are not sound, for they do not prove that the past experience of the Yahweh's people was a fallacy. For the being in the possession of the truth with the guidance of the angels by the Holy Spirit, we were able to present the sanctuary question. It is eloquence for everyone to keep silent in regard to the features of our faith in which they acted no part. For the Yahweh never contradicts himself. Scripture proofs are misapplied as forced to testify to that which is not true. Another and still another will arise and bring in supposedly great light and make their assertion that we stand by the old landmark. Selected Messages 1:60-62. For the reality of the heavenly sanctuary affirmed repeatedly, we find in the Ellen G. White's writings statements on the reality of the heavenly sanctuary, his furnishings, and his ministry. One such was penned in the 1880s as she described the experience of the Advent believers following the disappointment. In their investigation, they learned that the heavenly sanctuary built by the Moses at the command of the Yahweh, according to the pattern shown him in the mount, was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that its two holy places were patterns of things in the heavens. As the Yahushua, our great high priest, is a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle which is Yahweh pitched and not man. For the sanctuary in the heaven in which Yeshua ministers in our behalf is the great original of which the sanctuary built by the Moses was a copy. For the master splendor of the earthly tabernacle reflected unto the human vision the glories of that heavenly temple where the Yahushua are forerunner ministers for us before the throne of the Yahweh. As the sanctuary on the earth had been had two apartments, the holy and the most holy, so there are two holy places in the sanctuary in the heaven, and the ark containing the law of the Yahweh, for the altar of the incense and other instruments of the service found in the sanctuary below have also their counterpart in the sanctuary above. In the holy vision, the Apostle John was permitted to enter heaven, and he there beheld the candlestick and the altar of the incense, and as the temple of the Yahweh was open, he beheld also the ark of his testament, Revelation 4, 5, 8, 3, Revelation 11, 19. Those who were seeking for the truth found indisputable proof of the existence of the sanctuary and the heaven. For the Moses made the earthly sanctuary after a pattern that was shown him. For the Paul declares that that pattern was the true sanctuary that is in the heaven. For the John testifies that he saw it in the heaven, Spirit of Prophecy 4:260-261. Earlier she had written with the emphasis on the furniture. I was also shown a sanctuary upon the earth containing two apartments. It resembled the one in the heaven, and I was told that it was a figure of the heavenly. For the furniture of the first apartment of the earthly sanctuary was like that in the first apartment of the heavenly. For the veil was lifted, and I looked into the holy of the holies, and saw that the furniture was the same as the most holy in the heavenly sanctuary, early writing 252-253. For the ark and the law in the heavenly sanctuary, on the different occasions she spoke and wrote of the ark in the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary. One such statement was made in a sermon preached in the Rio, Sweden in 1886. I warn you, do not place your influence against the Yahweh's commandments. That law is just as Yahweh wrote it in the temple of heaven. Man may trample upon its copy here below, but the original is kept in the ark of the Yahweh in the heaven and on the cover of the ark right above that law is the mercy seat. Yahushua stands right there before the ark to meditate for man. Ellen G. White comments, the SDA Bible Commentaries 1:1109. Let's do that again. For the Yahushua stands right there before the ark for the mediating for the man. Ellen G. White Commentary Volume 1 1109. And in 1903, she again wrote of the reality of the heavenly sanctuary. I could say much regarding the sanctuary, for the ark contained the law of the Yahweh, the cover of the ark, which is the mercy seat, the angels at either end of the ark, and other things connected with the heavenly sanctuary and with the great day of the atonement. I could say much regarding the mysteries of the heaven, but my lips are closed. I have no inclination to try to describe them. Ellen G. White, Letter 253, 1903. Last day delusions will involve vital truth. For it is true that our adversary Satan will try to unsettle the faith of the Yahweh's people and the doctrine of the sanctuary in these latter days. Ellen White wrote, "For the Savior foretold that in the latter days false prophets would appear and draw away disciples after them, and also that those who in this time of the peril should stand faithful unto the truth that is specified in the book of the Revelation would have to meet doctrinal errors so spacious that, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived." Let's reread this last sentence. "For the Savior foretold that in the latter days false prophets would appear and draw away disciples after them, and also that those who in this time of the peril should stand faithful unto the truth that is specified in the book of the Revelation would have to meet doctrinal errors so precocious that, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived." Okay, Yahweh would have every true sentiment prevail. Satan can skillfully play the game of the lost with the many souls, and he acts in a most underhanded, deceptive manner to score the faith of the people of the Yahweh and discourage them. For he works today as he worked in the heaven to divide the people of the Yahweh in the very last stage of this earth's history, where he seeks to create dissension and to arouse contention and discussion and to remove, if possible, the old landmarks of the truth committed unto the Yahweh's people, where he tries to make it appear as if the Yahweh contradicts himself. For it is when the Satan appears as an angel of the light that he takes souls in his snare, deceiving them. Men who pretend to have been taught of the Yahweh will adopt fallacious theories, and in their teaching will so adorn these fallacies as to bring in the satanic delusion, or the satanic delusions. Thus Satan will be introduced as an angel of the light and will have opportunity for the presenting of his pleasing fables. For these false prophets will have to be met. They will make an effort to deceive men. By leading them for the acceptance of the false theories, many scriptures will be misapplied in such a way that the deceptive theories will apparently be based upon the words that the Yahweh has spoken, for the precious truth will be appropriated for the substantiating and establishing of the error. For these false prophets who claim to be taught of the Yahweh will take beautiful scriptures that have been given to adorn the truth and will use them as a robe of the righteousness for the covering of the false and dangerous theories, and even some of those who in the times past the Yahweh has honored will depart so far from the truth as to advocate misleading theories regarding many phases of the truth, including the sanctuary question, Manuscript 11, 1906. A few weeks later, she added these words on the importance of a correct understanding of this truth: "I know that the sanctuary question stands in the righteousness and truth, just as we have held it for so many years, for it is the enemy that leads minds off on the side tracks, for he is pleased when those who know the truth become engrossed in the collecting of the scriptures to pile around erroneous theories which have no foundation in the truth. For the scriptures thus used are misapplied. They were not given to substantiate the error, but to strengthen the truth." Gospel Workers 303. With the eyes fixed on the sanctuary, at no time are we to lose sight of the important work being done in our behalf in the sanctuary and the heaven. We are admonished. As a people, we should be honored students of the prophecy. We should not rest until we become intelligent in regard unto the subject of the sanctuary, which is brought out in the visions of Daniel and John. This subject sheds great light on our present position and work and gives us unmistakable proof that the Yahweh has led us in our past experience, for it explains our disappointment in 1844, showing us that the sanctuary to be cleansed was not the earth as we had supposed, but that the Yeshua then entered into the most holy apartment of the heavenly sanctuary, and is there performing the closing work of his priestly office. In the fulfillment of the words of the angel unto the prophet Daniel, under 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. For our faith in the reverence unto the messages of the first, second, and third angels was correct, the great way marks we have passed are immovable, although the host of the hell may try to tear them from their foundation and triumph in the thought that they have succeeded, yet they do not succeed. These pillars of truth stand firm as the eternal hills, unmoved by all the efforts of men combined with those of the Satan and his host. We can learn much and should be constantly searching the scriptures to see if these things are so. For the Yahweh's people are now to have their eyes fixed on the heavenly sanctuary for the final ministration of our great high priest, and the work of the judgment is going forward, where he is interceding for his people. Evangelism 2:22 and 2:23. Okay. It says, this little book, except for a few footnotes in the study questions which follow each chapter, the materials which follow are exclusively from the pen of Ellen G. White and consist primarily of the chapters from Patriarchs and Prophets and the Great Controversy, with some bridging materials drawn together from the various E.G. White published writings. In each case, the source is given, as most readers will have at hand the E.G. White's books. It has seemed unnecessary here, where brevity is desirable, to include portions of the chapters not immediately relevant for the subject of the Yahushua and his sanctuary, the White Trustees. For the Yahushua and the sacrificial system, for the sin of our first parents brought guilt and sorrow upon the world, and had it not been for the goodness and mercy of the Yahweh, would have plunged the race into the hopeless despair. For the fall of man filled all heaven with a sorrow, for the world that the Yahweh had made was belighted with the curse of the sin and inhabited by the beings doomed to misery and death. There appeared no escape for those who had transgressed the law. But divine love had conceived a plan whereby man might be redeemed. For the broken law of the Yahweh demanded the life of the sinner. In all the universe, there was but one who could, in behalf of man, satisfy his claim. Since the divine law is as sacred as the Yahweh himself, only one equal with the Yahweh could make atonement for its transgression. To man, the first intimation of the redemption was communicated in the sentence pronounced upon the Satan in the garden. The Yahweh declared, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. Genesis 3:15. This sentence uttered in the hearing of our first parents was to them a promise, while it foretold war between man and Satan. It was declared that the power of the great adversary would finally be broken. Though they must suffer from the power of their mighty foe, they could look forward to the final victory. Heavenly angels more fully opened to our first parents the plan that had been devised for their salvation. Adam and his companion were assured that notwithstanding their great sin, they were not to be abandoned to the control of the Satan. The Son of Yahweh had offered to atone with his own life for their transgression. A period of the probation would be granted them, and through repentance and faith in the Yahushua, they might again become the children of the Yahweh. This sacred character of the Yahweh's law, for the sacrifice demanded by their transgression revealed unto Adam and Eve the sacred character of the law of the Yahweh, and they saw as they had never seen before the guilt of sin and its dire result. For the law of the Yahweh existed before man was created. The angels were governed by it. Satan fell because he transgressed the principles of the Yahweh's government. After Adam and Eve were created, Yahweh made known unto them his law. It was then, not then, written, but was rehearsed unto them by the Yahweh. After Adam's sin and fall, nothing was taken from the law of the Yahweh. For the principles of the Ten Commandments existed before the fall, and were of a character suited for the conditions of a holy order of the being. The principles were more expressively stated unto Adam, unto the man after the fall, and worded to meet the case of the fallen intelligences. For this was necessary in the consequence of the minds of men being blinded by the transgression. For a system that was then established requiring the sacrificing of the beast to keep before fallen man that which the serpent made Eve disbelieve, that the penalty of the disobedience is the death, for the transgression of the Yahweh's law made it necessary for Yahushua to die a sacrifice and thus make it very possible for man to escape the penalty, and yet the honor of the Yahweh's law be preserved. For the system of the sacrifices was to teach man humility and the view of his fallen condition, and lead him to repentance and to trust in the Yahweh alone through the promised Redeemer for the pardon for the past transgression of his law. For the very system of the sacrifices was devised by the Yahushua and given unto Adam as typifying a Savior to come. Higher ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as onward bound, yet put my feet on higher ground. You'll lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. I plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. You lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land, a higher plan than I have found. You plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world,
your setting stars set me up. For faith is called the joyful song, the song of saints on higher ground. Now lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land, a higher plan than I have found. Now plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I found, God lead me on to higher ground. Now lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plan than I have found. God plant my feet on fire ground.